Amen. Good morning. Good to see you all here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And I would like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word, if you're able to stand. Acts, I'm going to be preaching today on the model church of the New Testament. Acts 42, or chapter 2, 42 through 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, let our prayer this morning be, let us be the model church. Let us be the ones who allow you to work, Heavenly Father, within the church body, and never let us get in the way. Don't let us try to take the reins. Don't let us try to take control of everything, Father, because, Lord, we will certainly mess it up. Father, this morning, we give you Boscadale Baptist Church. And Father, we declare as a church body that you are the head of this church, that everything should be done by your direction, in your timing, and by your authority and your leadership. And Father, we always keep you first in everything. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, and do not let me say anything that would be of the flesh or my own thoughts. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if I were to ask you this morning what you thought the model church was, I wonder what some of your answers would be. And if you could go out and ask a lot of what we would call Christian people, and you ask them what the model church is, you know what kind of answers you might receive? Well, some people would say, well, the model church is the kind of building we have. And if you look around, a lot of people believe that the church is the building that they're in, and a lot of people will literally worship the building they're in. I got to talking to a man the other day in town, and he was telling me that the overseers of their church told them, you know what, you've got property, and he said, now it's time for us to start building a church. And I said, oh, really? Well, where are you going to build that? He said, you know where the driver's license station is in Carbondale? Yeah. Right across from there, we have 5 acres. He said, we're going to build a 16,000 square foot church. And he said, the cost is $1.6 million. And I don't know how hard my jaw hit the ground, but I could see right away that a lot of people are genuinely mistaken when it comes to the model church. It's not the building that you're in that's the church. The church is the body of believers. Those who have been saved, those who have believed on Jesus. And I want to tell you about the model church of the New Testament. This all happened right after the Pentecost happened. The Holy Spirit had moved, and they had seen many signs and wonders taking place. And there were things happening in such a way that people were being saved. There were throngs of people being saved. So the model church back then, and I also want you to know this. If you think of the model church from the New Testament, honestly, how many of you would think the people back in the days of the Bible that they were perfect? Really, I think some folks would raise their hand and say, yeah, they were perfect. But let me tell you something. The model church in the days of the Bible, they were ordinary people just like you and I. They were filled with people that were hypocritical. They were filled with people who had their own set of beliefs, their own values, their own ways of understanding things. They had their own personality. They all didn't believe in the same way. See, that's why God created each and every one of us with a unique character. If God created us all the same, then how would we function in the different areas of the body of ministry that He's called us to? If we were all an arm, well, who, you know, how's the body going to walk if everybody was an arm? You know, you have to look at it that way. But the model church back in the day, it wasn't because of perfect people, but here's what the model church was. It was people who were willing to submit, to surrender, who believed, and who followed the teaching of God's Word, and they operated under the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, the church of early Jerusalem, I done told you, they were also filled, they had doctrinal errors. How many, you see that today? A lot of people will say, well, they'll read the scripture and they'll interpret it their own way. And that does happen. And we've got to be careful of that. But in the church today, back in the church back in that day, after the days of Pentecost had happened, they were a very large inner city church. And get these numbers. There were 3,000 new members added, bringing the total to 3,120. Wow. Now, I don't know if I could imagine being a pastor of a church of 3,120 people. Hey, I've got everybody's names memorized pretty well here, and I'm doing good. Don't put any more on my plate than I have. You know, but I will. I'm 57 almost, and I still got a good sharp mind some days. But they had a very large church. And get this, it started with 12 disciples, 12 apostles. I want you, don't look at anybody else, but I want you to look at your own life. And I want you to know this, and I want you to start calling yourself who you are. You're a child of God. You were saved. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I've got my flaws and failures. Oh boy, do I ever have them. But I'm not going to open up a shoebox and share what they are, because I'm working on my flaws and failures day in and day out. But I'll tell you this, we are all children of the living God. We are all apostles. And I want to say this, it doesn't matter what the size of your church building is, it's what you're allowing to happen. Let me back up. I'm about to trip myself. We got to keep God first in the church body. And so it doesn't matter how big the church body is. If we are willing, God can make any church grow to any size. But we have to remember as a church that God is always the center of everything. And we should never let any program, any event, any happening or occurrence override God in any way, shape, or form. If God is the head of the church, we recognize Him as such. That's what the 12 apostles did. And we must abide by every word of God's Holy Scripture. We must live it. We must testify of it. But we have to believe it by faith. We have to take this word to heart and know that what it says, what happened in those days, it is still happening within our time today. The Holy Spirit is at work. I remember the first Sunday I walked in here, 10, 12, maybe 15 or so. And over the last few years, it's been slow and steady progress. It's not anything that I did, though. It's everything that we as a church body have done by leaning on the Lord and trusting Him. We've already had 3 baptisms. We've had 10 people join the church. We got 2 baptisms coming up. And I want you to know this. God is going to continue to do in this church what He intends to do. But we have to be a conductor. Kind of goes back to, I don't remember who I was talking to last Sunday, but I said, being a Christian is kind of like an electrical circuit. You have conductors and you have resistors. I don't know why some people choose to be a resistor in the church because they don't want to allow certain things of God to happen. We all should be conductors. See, a conductor lets electricity flow. And we should be a conductor for the Lord. We should allow anything that God wants to do in our life, we should allow it to work within us and flow from us, touching the lives of other people around us. Now this week, yard sale is coming up, and it starts Thursday. And this is what I love. I have stood out there under the tent. I've been in here. And I've listened to different ones from this church share about the Lord and invite people to come here. And you know what? Sometimes that's all it takes. If people see our faith at work, it's going to draw them like a bug to a light. And that's what we need to be. We need to be a light. This little church, I like somebody said, this is the little church in the Dale. I can't remember where I heard that now. But this is the church in the Dell, the church of the lighthouse on a hill. And I like that this church sits up on a hill because there are many who wander in darkness. And if we keep the light flowing from here, and if people continue to see that, it will draw them to this church. Now, we don't have marble pillars. We don't have a big glorious praise band. And we don't have 3,000 people, but you know what we do have? We have unity, we have love, we have fellowship, and it's very genuine. And that's what will keep the doors of Boscadale Baptist Church open, is that we are allowing God to move, we are allowing God to grow this church, and we should never say, Lord, I don't want you doing anything else, it's getting too big. Now, my first church I ever pastored, I was 20 years old, and I walked in there, and I didn't know, you know, I didn't know nuts from fruit back then. I'm not talking about the people now when I said nuts and fruits. I'm just telling you, I didn't know a whole lot about wisdom being a pastor. I was green, really green. And I go in there, and the people of the church are saying, we want to grow. We really want to grow. All right. Well, we're going to grow. So anyway, Lord, what do you want done? And how do you want it done? Because I don't know what I'm doing. And the Lord just said, trust me. And get this. The church started to grow. We started to have, they had ladders, boxes, all and dead bugs and spiders, all kinds of stuff in the brand new baptistry. I started that church in 1996. It was built in 94. And the baptistry was filled with clutter. And we got the baptistry cleaned out and we started using it. And the church started to grow. And then all of a sudden, somebody came to me one night and said, we don't like what you're doing here. I said, what do you mean? Well, we're growing way too fast. We just want it to be, this is a family here. Everybody here is related. And they said, we don't want no bigger than what we've had. So quit telling people to come. I said, I ain't doing it. I'll never quit inviting people to come to this church. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll gladly resign and step out those doors first before I ever tell someone not to come here. And so that's why I'm saying to you, don't be a resistor. What we have to do, these doors are open for people to come here on Sunday because none of us are perfect, but we have to be the model church. We have to love those who are unlovable. We have to teach those who may be unteachable because you know what? It'll eventually hit them and we'll draw them in here and the Spirit of the Lord will work through us, through the gifts that He has given to us, and we will see things start to happen and grow here. And I believe that as long before the rapture of the church ever happens, I firmly believe that the doors of Boscadale Baptist Church will always be open. And know this because, you know, I hate to say this, but as folks get older, you know, and then the older ones pass on, we always know it takes the younger generation to keep it going. So we've got to have the younger people coming. We've got to have Sunday school for young people. We got to have Sunday school for our teens. We've got to be teaching the word to these people so that they are receiving from Christ what they need in their life so that we can continue to build God's kingdom. Boy, I just went off my introduction and just started preaching right off of that. The one of the most important things that I think we should look at as being a model church like they were back in the days of the Bible was they were a learning, studying church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. What the apostles taught was this word. And there's no way you're going to know this word until you open it and until you read it and make it a part of your life. You study to show thyself approved unto God. What happens when you study something? It becomes a part of you and you know it. Now, there's a lot to this Bible from Genesis to Revelations. And I'll tell you what, at my age, this ain't no excuse. I ain't as sharp as I was in my 20s. So I may not be able to go back and quote and remember everything from years past. There's a lot here to digest, but I could sure tell you what, studying this word has helped me a lot in preaching in the pulpit because I hear from God when I study this word. And not only that, it builds up my life. This is better than my daily multivitamin that gives me the physical strength to get through my day. But this builds up my spirit. But I learn from the Lord through His Word. And so I'm able to teach. I'm able to preach from this Word because I never know what somebody has going on in their life that would be hearing this message today or that I might meet on the street. So I want to make sure that I am devoted. And I mean, devotion doesn't mean one day a week. Devotion means setting aside my wants and desires and needs and being devoted to God and getting into the Word and not just reading it and then closing it and saying, well, I'm ready to go throughout my day. No. Well, when I study the Word, I want to know what that Word means and I want to know what God is saying to me because I experience God so deeply through this Word and that Word is what changes every facet of my life. It makes me different in so many ways. And you know what? There's been so many times I read the same scriptures and I always get something different out of it. Before I study, I pray, Father, please show me through your word what you want me to see today and help me to apply it to my life. Because when I do that, I could be a much more effective witness. Now, if I never studied that word, if I never read it, and I just said, well, I'm going to get in the pulpit and preach Sunday, or I'm going to go out in the streets and go witness and minister to someone, I'm going to fall flat on my face, and then the job that God wanted done, it's going to be like a flat tire. It ain't going to go anywhere. But we have to be devoted to the teachings of God's Word, because you never know who God is going to call in this church to teach our teenagers, to teach our young kids. I know I've had some people, when we were calling out at different churches to elect people to certain positions, oh, don't call on me. Really? Well, why? Well, I can't do that. Well, if you've got that kind of an attitude, if you're going to be resistant, God won't use you. God will find somebody else. Well, I tell you what, I would rather say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Because I don't want somebody else getting the job that you called me to do. I don't want to miss out on the blessings of what you got in store for me. I want to say this. I'm not putting Laura on a pedestal in any way, shape, or form. I'm not. But when she came to me one Sunday morning after church and she said, you know what, I've been praying about this, and her and I hadn't communicated at all about it. She said, I want to get Sunday school started back and I want to teach the adult class. I was excited. And I'm hoping now that somebody will come up and say, well, Brother Jim, we got a few young people coming here. I want to start teaching them. I want to teach our young people, our teenagers. And some might say in the church, well, we've only got three or four kids. All you need is one or two. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And if it takes a spark to get a fire going, you get one or two or three kids and you start teaching them. Not only will the teacher be blessed, but the kids will be blessed. The adults will be blessed. And it will start a firestorm that will go through the church, and people will go to school. The kids will go to school and say, wow, you ought to come to my church. Now, we don't have a big fancy building and we don't need one. I could preach fine from a lean-to. Really? But sad thing is, people's all about pouring their money into what the building looks like and how the praise band sounds. Well, that ain't going to get you to heaven, and that ain't going to enrich your spiritual walk with the Lord. What's going to get you is you say, Father, whatever it is your will, I'll do it. And if you want me to teach, I'm not trying to get anybody guilted into teaching, so don't go out of here today saying, well, Brother Jim tried to guilt us today. He wanted us to try to get somebody else to teach. That ain't what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you, remember what I preached last week, he who has ears, let him hear. If God's speaking to your heart, then open your heart and say, yes, Lord, I'll teach. Yes, Lord, I'll be a deacon. Yes, Lord, I'll be whatever faithful member, and I'll do whatever I have to do in the church. I'll do it, Lord, because I want to see somebody else get saved. I want to see someone else's life get changed. That's how we reach people. We study, we learn. And by that, they were unified as a church. 3,120 people? Wow. Could you imagine a pastor having to keep after that many folks? But here's what I want you to see. They were joyful, they were growing, and they were vibrant. Wow. Now, that's something I want to hit on. I ain't picking on nobody, but joyful. Your attitude coming through those doors, it all falls on you, nobody else. I've always heard someone say, well, I come to church today, but I saw so-and-so and it put me in a bad mood. No, you put your own self in a bad mood, I'm sorry to tell you. It's the attitude of your heart with other people. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not being judgmental. This is coming from God's Word. God's word says that God is love, and in him there is no darkness. Now, if we say that we are Christians, if we have received Christ, and if we say that we love others, but we hate them, or we speak negatively about them or against them, then you know what the Bible says? There is no love inside of us. There's darkness. I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to back up here now. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But you have a choice. I have a choice to make. And I choose, I want to be a light to somebody. Are there people that get under my saddle like a burr under my saddle? Yeah. Boy, there might be. But you know what I do? I choose to love them anyway. And I think it was Sarah came up with a good point in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes you do got to set boundaries. You can love people, but sometimes you got to set boundaries. You really do. But love people. Don't talk bad about them. Don't gossip, because you're not growing the church in any way, shape, or form by having that characteristic. Jesus didn't go around gossiping about the disciples. Now, I don't know how the disciples were, but Jesus was our example of how to live. And if we're going to be a joyful, vibrant church, then when we tell people that we love and serve the Lord, when they come in here, they need to see it. And it doesn't need to be a front that we're putting on, because people could tell fake from real. I've walked into some churches, and I could tell when it was pretty fake. And I've also been in churches when I could tell it was real. And when we pick up the hymn book, when we pick up the Bible, we should have the attitude already, even coming through that door, that we're going to serve God, we're going to love people that are around us. And here we go. I don't look at color. I don't look at income. I don't look at nothing on nobody. Everybody was created in God's likeness. And I'll tell you what, if a prostitute walked in that back door right now and she took a seat down in there and she wasn't dressed the best, she ain't going to be run out of here. She's going to be loved on, because that's what the church is here for. And that's how we reach people. I had a drunk man staggered in church service one morning up in Benton, and he come up there and he stood in the sanctuary and he goes, "Preacher, can I come up here and say something?" And I said, "No, sir. I think if you could just have a seat, would be great. We're glad you're here." "I want to come up here and say something." "No, I'm sorry. I can't let you get up here and talk." I said, "You can have a seat, and we're glad you're here." And boy, he smelled like a brewery and hadn't had a bath in weeks. But I tell you what, I saw people love on him. And I think, I don't know what kind of an impact it had on him, but I'll tell you this, if he had been run out the door, you know what he would have said? He would have been telling everybody later on how that church on the corner of McLeansboro and Route 14 run him off. He would have told everybody about it. But since we loved on him, I know that he had to have gone out of there probably with a changed heart and a different perspective of people in the church. A lot of people won't go to church today because they say, "Well, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church." Well, you know what? There is. Anybody going to disagree with that? No, I ain't going to disagree with it. Because every one of us are flawed in some way. We won't be perfect until we get to heaven. I'm going to have to preach this a two-part. So next Sunday we get into the second part. But one thing that I want us to really take in this morning is that we have to submit. Submission. You know what submission is? That's what Christ did. Christ submitted his will to the Father's. And this is what Jesus did. I mean, can you imagine being the Son of God and leaving the glory and the splendor of heaven, knowing what you're going to face and doing it anyway? Wow. And Laura mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, how Jesus even said, well, Father, you know, let this cup pass from me if it be thy will, but not, you know, but don't let my will be done, but thy will. And he carried on through with what he had to do anyway, even though it wasn't very pleasant at all. We have to come to a point of submission in the church. Submit to the Lord. That's what the book of James says. Submit to the Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Now, that's the only time you need to be a resister in the church. Write that down or jot it in your brain. The only time I should be a resister in the church is when the devil is trying to come after me or he's trying to stir up dissension. And let me always submit to the Lord in all things. See, we're never fooling God. We can sometimes fool others to a point before they finally see who we really are. But if we want the church to grow, if we want the church to be a light, then we have to be the growth inhibitor. I'm sorry. We need to let God make us to be the growth inhibitor, but we have to let Him do the growth. Everything's by His power and authority. And if we try to get in the way and take it over, oh, I've seen churches. Now, Pastor, I got a great idea how we can grow. And I would ask them, did you take that to the Lord first? Oh, well, is that how God wanted you to do it? Now, because somebody told me once in the church, they said, Preacher, have you ever thought about just making door hang, going up to the printing shop, having door hangers made, and just go hang them on doors? Well, did God tell us to do that? Well, no. I said, then what benefit is it if God didn't institute it, why would we want to do it? So that's why I'm saying this. We got to be adhered to the Lord first. And when we come in these doors, when we come here to worship, when we're outside of these walls, we've got to be a light to the world. That's how we're going to continue to grow as a church. So, next Sunday, I'm going to preach the other half of this message, okay? We'll get to it. I promise you that.